Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri. If you're listening to this, you've arrived on our Saturday episode called Behind Beyond the Uniform. Normally on Mondays and Thursdays, I meet with military veterans about what they do, how they got there, and advice for others seeking a similar career path. Behind Beyond the Uniform is different. It's just me, no one else. And I've got a post-it note of a few random ideas, often about interviews I've had this week that won't air for another month or so. And I try to structure it in a way of, I call it the mullet format, business up front, party in the back, covering any professionally related items up front. And then if it serves you to stick around towards the end, we'll cover things that are more personal or relationship in nature. So with that, I'll dive right in, and I've got a couple professional thoughts that came from an interview I did today with a gentleman named James Jordan. And James is one of the top executives for Hornets Entertainment, which not only is that Hornets basketball, but it's also, it's a venue that has 42 basketball games a year. And they have 140 other events, at least, that they try to do each year. So basketball is just a small part of this organization. And the craziest part of this interview for me was I normally do my homework. I did not do my homework as much as I should have on this one, but it worked well because I didn't realize until literally the last question of the interview when I realized that James Jordan, a 31-year Army veteran, James Jordan is the older brother of Michael Jordan, who you definitely know. And we'll get into that, and actually we'll get into that with this first takeaway. So one of the questions that I asked James was what it's like being brother to one of the best basketball players in the history of the planet. And what I appreciated, or what I took away from his answer, was how he, in my words, how he kind of swims in his own lane. And he was, he enlisted when he was 17 years old, and his brother started to get success, almost a decade after that in basketball. And there was a point at which he could have left the Army and been part of his brother's success and fame and entourage and all of those things. But he realized that the Army was his calling, just like basketball was his brother's calling. The Army was his calling. That was where he felt like he could give his gifts, where he could show up, where he could make a difference, where his family was, where his life was leading him. And I just really respect that. I did not have Michael Jordan as a brother. And yet, like most of you, have grown up with the influence of Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and YouTube and social media and TV and all of these different things that, at least for me, can be really distracting. It's seeing one facet of someone's life. And for me, it's that sense of like, oh man, either why am I not chasing whatever this person is chasing? Why am I not experiencing the happiness, success, fame, or fortune, or whatever I perceive them as experiencing? And it can really sweep the legs out from underneath me. Even when I'm feeling the most convicted about the path that I'm forging for my life, it can introduce a lot of doubt of if I should be doing something else. And so I respected that about with James, of that sense of, and it goes back to what we talk about a lot on the show around self-knowledge, but owning your purpose, owning why you're here on this earth, owning what you are wanting to do, how are you wanting to make a dent in the world around you, and letting go of what you see others doing on popular channels, or letting go of seeing your little kid brother become one of the most successful athletes of all time. And so it was a powerful reminder for me on that. Another thing that I really respected about James's story is, he served for 31 years in the Army. And you can imagine for anyone who spends 31 years committed to an organization, you rise to a level of seniority and comfort and leadership. And when he first left the military, he had to give up all of those things. And he talked about the fear with which he approached, as everyone does, this transition, and how he had to take a step back in terms of seniority and pay and all of these things. And he really had to learn a lot of new skills. And I just put myself in his shoes. If I had served 31 years for me in the Navy, I imagine I wouldn't want to be learning something new. I think I would just trust that I'd learned and I'd grown and that was it. But I respect his growth mindset where he was humble. He was willing to take a step back. He was willing to learn the differences between civilian and military leadership, of which he points out many. And then over time, over the course of the following 7 years, was able to grow into an incredible leadership position that was really exciting for me. Even as someone who doesn't really follow sports, to learn about his work with the Hornets was really powerful. So I think that that was a great one. And then the last one occurred, you know, usually with these interviews, we stop the mic and we chit-chat for a little bit afterwards before wrapping things up. And I'm kind of regretting that I don't have some way to record those, because once the mic stops, once the recorder goes off, it's almost always a really powerful conversation. And I forget the context under which James said this, but the takeaway that I had was letting go of the need to be pat on the back, to be given an attaboy or a Bravo Zulu. He had talked about, with his position in the Army, he's always available. He's always taking people's calls and providing advice when asked and mentoring the younger generation. And my sense is he does that without anyone knowing, without anyone giving him a pat on the back or a commendation. And, you know, it made me realize, too, the part of myself, and I think there's a part of us, of this in all of us, but the part of myself that does want to be praised and patted on the head and given a gold star. You know, even with this podcast, there's a part of me that craves that at times. And I love James's thoughts of just, you know, honestly being an adult, of choosing what you want to do, taking ownership of that and accountability of that, and being willing to do it without any recognition, without any praise or any positive feedback, and doing it with a purpose and with dedication. So lots to learn from James Jordan. That interview will be aired in October, but I wanted to share a couple of those quick takeaways while they were top of mind. The other two parts are more on the party in the back on the personal side, but I do think that both of these relate to one's professional life. As many as you know, I do. I'm doing a year-long men's group program with a guy named John Wineland. It's called the Embodied Men's Leadership Training. Love it. Already planning to sign up for the next couple of years. Just incredible work. But one of the things that we did today was just a small exercise, but it stuck with me. Was we took time to think about three areas in our life for the remainder of the year where we want to experience success. So what are like one of the top three things that I want to accomplish or achieve? And for some of the people, it was making a certain amount of money. For some people, it was switching jobs. For some people, it was having the best marriage of their life. For some people, it was taking more time off to enjoy things. For some, it was switching locations. Whatever it was, just being honest and deliberate about, okay, these are the three things that matter the most. And then the next part, and I would encourage you to try this as an exercise, the next part of that was to be ruthless with yourself on a scale of 1 to 10 of how you're doing at creating the structure to achieve that. So if my goal is to make X dollars off of consulting work this month or this year, how am I really showing up? Out of a scale of 10, am I at a 4? Am I at a 6? Like, how am I actually creating structure to achieve that goal? How am I actually saying no to things to have the time to do that? How am I actually learning from others and growing my own skill set? You know, what's the 1 to 10 on that? And then the third part, and I would encourage you going through this exercise, but the third part was to think through, okay, what is it that I need to get that item closer to a 10. And to start with brainstorming 20 different ways, setting aside how realistic they are, how much money they would take, how much time they would take. You know, let's just say if Beyond the Uniform was on my top three for my life for the rest of the year, it's pretty easy for me to come up with a list of 20 things that I could do to really have a bigger impact. I could clean up our website. I could make that easier to use. I could spend more time finding high-quality guests for our shows or figuring out the skills that our audience needs. I could find a way to build our sponsorship program so we have more discretionary spending to grow our audience and invest in our growth like any good business does. So it's coming up with those 20 tactical steps and just having that open brainstorm and then being really deliberate in making progress on that. And, you know, I'll share again with you an exercise that I'm still doing that I would apply to this as well, which is starting the day with someone with whom you have accountability. I have an accountability buddy that I text every morning, and it's taking that approach of like, okay, there's 1,000 things to do today. What are the most important things I need to do today before I die? If I were only to do a few things, what are the ones that matter most? And applying that to these three goals of just keeping that laser focus. And I think that our professional and personal lives can get so noisy and so busy, it can get easy to lose sight of the important for what's urgent. And the important things are not always, for me at least, the things that are the loudest or the clearest. And so really having that focus on a daily basis of what are the two or three or five things that no matter what, I'm committed to getting done today to further my purpose, my mission, my life, or the person that I want to be in this world. And the piece that I would add to that is I'm just really being reminded of how important accountability is. I had a call, and I may have shared this on a previous episode, but I had a call recently with one of the guys in this program who's done it for a couple of years. And he is someone that I just see as like, man, this guy is an incredible leader, like just an incredible human being, and someone where I aspire to be more like him. And I had a call with him, and I was learning. He said, look, when I did the first year, like you're doing right now, we have different practices. We have like meditation practices and yoga and different things that we do to try to be more present in our life, to try to be more fully aware, things like that. And you know, it's the type of practices where I've usually set aside 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes a day to do these. And he said, you know, the first year that I did this program, I did 90 minutes a day. And I'm like, man, that's pretty badass. And it made me think of, you know, I want to do better at this work. I want to be more grounded. I want to be more present and aware and just more fully myself. And it reminded me of someone who has some sort of physical goal and is willing to go to the gym for 10 minutes a day. You can imagine what sort of results you'll see on 10 minutes a day versus 90 minutes a day. And so I hung up the phone call and had realized like, okay, this is something where if I'm being honest with myself, it's really important to me. This work is really having a positive impact on my life, and I want to deepen in it. I want to become better at it and become more of an expert at it. And so even though my schedule feels really hectic, I decided I want to commit an hour a day during the week to do these exercises. And fortunately, the best thing that I did was I reached out to two friends from the program who have a similar schedule, and we committed to meeting on a Zoom conference every single day for an hour, or every weekday for an hour. And already I'm noticing the number of days that I've done this where I would not, 100% certain, would not have done it without them showing up as well, without not just their accountability, but their company on this journey and their shared commitment. And, you know, we toss up leading it every day. And so seeing them lead and having to create the structure for that and all of the great things that come with that. So I wanted to share that if that top three exercise resonates with you. I do think that for me at least, there is a lot of leverage that comes from making a commitment publicly. And there's also a lot of commitment that comes from sharing that commitment with others. And I think there needs to be some discernment here, right? If you're maybe trying to diet, maybe you don't call in your best friend who is likely to give you a pass, who's likely to not beat you up if you make a mistake. Maybe you need someone who is a little bit tougher on you, or someone who is a little bit better with their diet, or someone who has a little bit of distance from you where there's not that familiarity to just help you sink into comfort. That's been the case with the two gentlemen that I'm doing this with, where, you know, we're committed to being honest with each other and calling each other out if we're not showing up. And you know, I think that there's a balance there too. Like, one of the guys had a late night for work, and of course it was like, okay, look, it makes sense. We're telling you honestly, be kind to your body, sleep in today. But if he's not there the next day, we're really pushing on him. So I think, you know, regardless of what your goals are, and I realize for our audience that might be finding a new job, it might be saving a certain amount so that when you get out of the military, you have the time to find a career that will light you up. Maybe it is deepening your relationship with your partner or your kids or whatever it is. Maybe you want to write a book. Finding ways to be explicit of, these are the top three for me, because we don't have much room for much else besides that. And thinking through those 20 ways that maybe you only take on two or three of them, but thinking through the exercise of 20 different things you could do to create more structure, to create more momentum towards that. And then if it serves you, finding the accountability to make sure that you're making distance down track, to make sure that you're being held accountable. I work with an executive coach. I've done that for over 5 years now. That's a great source of accountability. And I'm literally paying someone money to get clarity on what matters, and then I can focus on that and literally check back in 1 week later to see how I'm doing. So find that way to hold yourself accountable to making those commitments stick. That's all for this week. Check it out next week. We've got two incredible interviews coming out Monday and Thursday, and have a wonderful weekend.